Hello, beautiful people out there. It is 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday, April 27th, 2016, and this is the Daily Talk with Taylor Thibodeau, bringing you all the positivity in the Black community. So today, I actually made a change, and I decided to bring on Pierce College Health Administrator Elizabeth Bean and Kira Steyman. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
Yes, yes. Nurse practitioner for Pierce. So how are you guys doing today?
Great. And I'm not an administrator.
Oh.
I am the health center director, but I'm a full-time faculty. I'm not considered administration.
Oh, I was misinformed.
That's okay. I'm happy the way I am.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. Can you guys please explain a little bit about what you do for Pierce College campus?
I'll take over the health center, over the overarching health center, and then Kira can talk about what she does as a nurse practitioner in providing health care. But the health center, with the students paying $11 a semester, provides for all students access to any of our medical professionals and our mental health professionals. We have a physician, Dr. Nishimoto, who happens to be there today, Kira, who's a nurse practitioner, and Debbie, who's our other nurse practitioner. We have two psychologists. One is a supervising licensed clinical psychologist. The other one is a postdoc intern. And they see our students at no cost for 6 45-minute therapy sessions a semester, which is the best deal in town.
Wow.
Then we also have access to nutrition interns who are senior nutrition students from CSUN, and they're there on Thursdays. And then we have a health education department that does our health promotion and outreach and education, whether it be on the mall or whether it be in the classroom doing presentations on topics like the one today, which is STIs.
Wow. That's all for the $11 a semester.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Then when our students come in, and Kira will get into it a little bit when we talk about STIs,
yeah.
But when our students come in to see us, if we need to put something in them like an antibiotic or a TB test or an immunization, or if we take something out of them like a blood test or a urine test, then that costs a few additional dollars, but it's below cost, and we don't make money off of it. We're not allowed to make money off of the students.
Wow. And I didn't know all those resources were available on campus.
And besides the mental health needs of our students, I think my biggest problem is student awareness that we exist and what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really not sure how to best connect with the students. So any and all suggestions are welcomed.
Definitely. I will be thinking about that as well,
because
that's really important. I didn't even know we had those resources on campus. That helps for people, students who are out of state and have to come here and don't have
so much.
Yeah,
so
that's
much.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So Kira, what do you do for Pierce College campus?
Well, we see the patients, we provide medical care. So we basically see them for acute needs. Let's say somebody has a UTI or upper respiratory infection, whether they have, you know, vaginal symptoms or abdominal symptoms, anything that is happening acute, or if they need a prescription refill, let's say somebody who has asthma and they need albuterol inhaler, or they need a birth control refill. We also see them for chronic needs, such as if they need prescription for diabetes, monitor their blood pressure. We can do the blood work, as Beth mentioned, and follow up on anything abnormal. That's basically what we do.
Wow. I'm really in shock. Like, I'm really in
shock.
We
do the first aid. We do that a lot. Yes.
Wow. So how long have the both of you been working at Pierce College campus?
I've been there for, this is my 23rd year.
23rd.
My 23rd anniversary is this summer.
Wow.
I started 6 months after the health center opened, because we didn't have health centers probably for 15 to 20 years between the 70s and the 90s.
Wow. Okay. And what about you, Kira?
I've been here for 6 years.
6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have seen a lot of different stories come in and out of
yes,
the health office.
We have.
Wow. Okay. So let's get into it. The reason why you were here to talk about STDs, STIs, and I also have a couple pregnancy prevention questions too, just for anyone who doesn't know about the resources available. So what exactly is an STD? Kira.
Go ahead.
STD is a sexually transmitted disease. So obviously it's something that can be transmitted through the intercourse. If there's a new partner, or the partner, you know, not sure about the partner, we tell them to use the condoms. By the way, we give out the condoms for free. They can stop anytime and ask for a little bag, and we give them confidentially. So it has some symptoms. So most of the time, the patient will present with the symptoms. We do some testing to rule it out, to diagnose, and then we can provide the treatment.
Okay. And then what's an STI? Like, is there a difference between the two, or is it just two different names?
There is not. They're used interchangeably.
Oh.
Almost, I feel like STD is a little old school. It's what I grew up on. It's actually very difficult for me to remember to say STIs, which is a sexually transmitted infection versus a sexually transmitted disease. Same difference.
Oh, okay then. So can you guys name the different STDs that are out there for someone who's not aware?
Well, let's talk about the two types first.
Okay.
You have bacterial, right, which are curable. We treat them with an antibiotic because there's a bacteria causing it. Mm-hmm. Then we have viral, which are not curable. They can go into remission. They can be dormant for a while. So the bacterials, and Kira can step in if I'm missing any, are chlamydia and gonorrhea are the most common that people are very familiar with. Syphilis is also out there and somewhat on the rise. Then, am I missing any of the bacterials?
There is also trichomonas, but it's not reportable, but it's still, you know, a bacteria, and it's sexually transmitted, so you get treated with antibiotic.
And that one's like short term called trich?
Yes.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
The trich.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other group are virals,
right,
and that would be herpes. That would be human papillomavirus, which causes genital warts. It would be hepatitis B, and it would be AIDS, so HIV. The human immune deficiency virus.
That's perfect. I was going into my next question too. So do you guys happen to know any statistics as far as HIV and AIDS?
On our campus?
In general.
Well, I know that, to be honest with you, no specifics. I know that we have ethnic groups that are still on the rise of HIV infection. So, for instance, your show is about black health, correct?
Correct.
And so I believe African-American males who are having sex with males, their numbers are on the rise, and we don't know why. So other than education, we need to get out there and educate. And we contract with the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. We have a contract with them, non-monetary contract, where they come on campus twice a year, and they've actually been here three times this year. They came for our health fair in February, then they were here during AIDS Awareness Week in March, and they were here last October during AIDS Awareness Week, providing free, rapid, confidential HIV testing and education. And they actually also test for other STIs when the students are in their van.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They're pretty cool. Our testing isn't free at this point in time, and hopefully we'll have a few seconds at the end of the program to talk about some changes I'm trying to make at the health center that will make it free. So because we can't offer free testing at this point, and there's a specific reason, we send most of our students who come to us for STI testing to a family pack clinic, and there's a list of them in the area, and we can and they can go there and get all of this for free. We're just not a family pack provider yet. Oh. As a hint.
Yet. Okay, so what is the difference between HIV and AIDS?
The HIV is a virus, so you can be infected with a virus but not necessarily present with symptoms yet. The other one is a disease that requires the treatment, the follow-up, you know.
So for HIV, just because there's no symptoms, you can still get tested and it can still be
transmitted. Detected.
Detected. There we go.
Yes.
That's the
It
word.
Can be detected because it's a virus, so you detect the antibody,
right,
but there is no symptoms of disease yet.
Okay. So in order to prevent these diseases, what can one person do in order to, like,
use the condoms?
Of course.
That's definitely number one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're not sure about the partner, as I mentioned before, if you're with a new partner, definitely using the condoms. And that's how you prevent the HIV, the AIDS. That's number one prevention. Right. And the abstinence is number two.
Abstinence, of course, but I mean college students.
Well, when you asked to speak with us, you asked, you told us we were talking about STIs and safe sex. So I want to be a little picky on wording.
Yes.
It's safer sex with condom use. The only safe sex is none, to be honest with you.
Right, correct.
Because condoms are not 100%. So I don't want people going into a relationship with somebody that's going to become intimate thinking that they never have to get tested because they use condoms all the time. And in addition to what Kira had said, I think that when you enter a new relationship, before you make that step to an intimate relationship, you need to have a discussion about both of you getting tested, to be honest with you.
I agree.
I think it's really important. It not only does it help start to engender trust between the two of you, we do a PowerPoint presentation in the classroom on STIs, and we do a risk assessment for STIs. And the questions are, there's three questions. I have had anal, oral, or vaginal sex? Yes or no? That's the first question. My partner has had, I have had more than one sexual partner. Yes or no? And the third question is, and this is the door that opens that you almost can never close. The third question is, my partner has had more than one sexual partner. Because when you have intercourse with somebody, in reality, you're kind of having intercourse with anybody they've had intercourse with in the past, if they've never been tested.
True.
And if they have had any unprotected intercourse. So that's the lesson we try to get. And I try to empower students with that lesson. I'm not trying to scare the world into abstinence. That's not going to happen. I'm not on a crusade.
Right, of course.
We're not judging. I'm just trying to educate and inform. And if we can teach our students how to take better care of themselves, they are the best person who's going to be able to do that. You're going to take the best care of you,
right,
better than anybody. And that's what I try to empower them with. I'm not sure the message always gets across because we see a lot of students coming in for pregnancy tests or emergency contraception or STI testing. So that tells all of us that some students are not getting the message, or they don't know, they don't feel empowered enough to say no, especially women, to their boyfriends who don't like the feel of condoms, don't want to use them. But again, they don't carry the unwanted pregnancy, and they don't have, you know, possibility of infertility. Well, I guess they can get infertile with chlamydia, right?
Yes, if it's left untreated.
Yeah, untreated STIs can lead to infertility, both for males and females.
Oh, like you won't be able to get pregnant.
Enough. Right, that's what infertility, infertility means they can't get pregnant. Kind of stuff.
Yeah, how does it make you guys feel when these students come in? Like, it has to be an emotional kind of attachment to the student that comes in with these issues. So,
continue educating. Just, I'm trying to make them feel comfortable. I don't want to judge them. I don't want to make any conclusions or arrive to any conclusions. I try to make them comfortable so if there is an issue, they can come to us.
Of course, of course. So besides STDs, you guys said that you have a lot of girls coming in for pregnancy tests as well. So are there any, like you said in the beginning, are there any other resources for girls to get contraceptives or any other form of birth control so they can prevent, you know, the situation from happening?
We can, there's complications in the standards have changed, and it's actually easier for young women who are sexually active to get contraceptives. We used to have to do a pap smear before we could prescribe a birth control. But now we don't need to unless the young lady is over the age of 21.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it really easy for us to get somebody who's under the age of 21 who is coming in for contraception to schedule an appointment with Kira or Debbie and have them talk to the young lady and try and figure out what best contraceptive mm-hmm. is going to work. Which one is going to work best for the patient is
right.
what I'm trying to say. and hopefully we're right the first time. It's a little bit of a crapshoot. Medication and medicine is. We try something, and if it doesn't work, the person comes back and we try something else, right?
Right.
So it sometimes works that way with contraception. Kira can speak to that much more clearly than I.
there is no universal birth control. So we're all different. Our needs are different. Our habits are different. So, and there is so many different birth controls that you can choose from, and everything will be covered through the Planned Parenthood or the Family Pack. Everything. The oral birth control, even if you don't qualify for whatever reason, can run to $10 a month as a copay for the cash patient. But most of our students will qualify for a family pact, and it will cover, as I said, everything.
So for the student who doesn't have insurance, you guys will make sure you help them in finding the tools they need to stay healthy and practice safe sex.
Yes.
Well, we'll also try and get them into insurance.
And that's something we tell them as well.
Oh, you guys try to help the student get insurance as well.
Well, we have a couple of things in the works. I don't know.
You can talk about
that
right now.
Okay, so first of all, we're in the middle of a memorandum of understanding. We call it an MOU. With Northeast Valley Health Corporation to come on campus on a weekly basis to the health center to help students enroll in Covered California or Medi-Cal, whichever one they will qualify for. And these people will do it, and there's no cost to us. They're just coming in to help our students. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is I mentioned Family Pact a little bit earlier in this broadcast. Family Pact, I like to think of it as insurance for the south side of your body. So anything from the waist down, Family Pact is like a Medi-Cal. It's a government paid for state funded insurance to prevent pregnancy, to prevent STIs, and everything that has to deal with the south side of the body is free, including labs and birth control and medication to treat infections on the south side of the body. We have never been a Family Pact clinic. We've not been allowed to because we don't charge for the visit. And it's always been illegal to charge Medi-Cal or the government, let's just say, to make it easier to understand. It's been illegal to charge the government for a visit we don't charge the insured student for. So we do not charge for our time. Okay, so there's no office copay. You come in and see us, and we're not going to make you pay the receptionist $15 or $20. So because of that, we're not going to be able to charge Family Pact for our visits. But what we are going to be able to do when we complete this process, which could take 6 months to a year, but what we are going to be able to do is to do the labs and write prescriptions and for any student who comes in for anything in the south side of the body. A urine test, a pregnancy test, a chlamydia gonorrhea test. Right now, chlamydia and gonorrhea are $20 a piece. That's $40. You don't really test for one without the other.
Right.
So that's $40 right there. That's a ton of money.
Yeah.
If we can do that on site, which is what we can't do right now, when we become Family Pact Clinic, a clinic provider, we can not only register the students to be in Family Pact, we'll have the cards that we can give them that documents that they have Family Pact. Then they can take that little green card if you need birth control, for instance, and you can go to the pharmacy and the pharmacy will give you that birth control. Normally $10 to $50 a month.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
it'll be free. Right now we do Plan B, which is emergency contraception, and it costs our students $10 for that. But it will be reimbursed by Family Pact and it will be free.
Wow. No.
Any student will qualify simply by stating they need privacy. So a student could be fully insured through their parents, but they don't want their parents to know that they need Plan B. So they can come in and on the application, they can simply mark, I need confidentiality, and they are approved immediately.
Perfect.
It is.
That's great.
It's pretty cool.
That is such an awesome resource.
It's not there yet.
Well, when
you'll
it comes,
you'll
it
interview
will be.
Me next semester.
Yes, I will. I definitely will about how this is successful and how it happened and how people need to know about this. Definitely mm-hmm. will.
Yeah.
So we are coming to the end. So if you guys have any emails, just in case a student might have a question where are you guys located as well? Because I didn't even know where the health office was on campus. So
we are located on the second floor of the Student Services Building, just beyond the International Students Office. We are in a hallway, and we purposely put ourselves there. We want students to be able to slip in and slip out without anybody knowing. And we are on the website, piercecollege.edu. We are on the Student Services page, the Student Health Center, and my email address is there, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't check. We are part-time, so I would probably prefer not to be contacted. So it's better to call,
okay.
And if there's any questions, to make an appointment, and we can talk.
Or you can email me, and I'll forward it to Kira. I mean, that's the other thing, because I'm on my email every day, and she's only there 3 days a week.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Perfect. Well, thank you, lovely ladies, for coming on the show and talking about, you know, STDs, STIs, pregnancy prevention, all the stuff that young people need to know. This is The Daily Talk with Taylor Thibodeau on KPCRadio.com. Until next time.